It's time for Talking Automotive with VACC. Here's Dennis Walter with Jeff Gwillim, CEO of VACC.
13 to 10, Jeff Gwillim is the CEO of the VACC. Jeff, good evening to you.
Dennis, good evening.
Changing face of selling cars in Australia?
Well, it's not. This hasn't come about from COVID. This was on the cards well before that. This is a model called the agency model, Dennis, where effectively the manufacturer buys and stocks all the vehicles. A dealership holds those vehicles in a showroom. It could be a large showroom. It could be somewhere in a shopping centre. But the big change is, Dennis, is that wherever you go to buy that vehicle, and at the moment, you know, Honda are moving into this from July 1 this year, the vehicle will be priced the same wherever you go. So what it means is for those people that don't want to negotiate, I mean, some people do, some people don't, it means that they will know that whatever Honda dealership they go to, you know, looking for a particular model, the price will be the same.
How are the dealers feeling about this?
I think at the moment I would say ambivalent and slightly nervous. They've had this in New Zealand for some time, and I spoke to a dealer last year. And the interesting thing that happened is that, you know, if you go past a dealership and the flags are out, the balloons are out, and there's a lot of marketing going on, a lot of that changes, because if I know that the cost of the vehicle is the same wherever I go, it's harder for a dealer outside of a particular area to attract you in, because I'm more likely to go to the local dealer because it doesn't, looking online will tell me lots about the vehicles, and that's still very important, Dennis. But if the price is the same wherever I go, then I'm more likely to go to the local dealer.
Well, from that aspect, it's a good thing. But can't the individual, will this stop an individual dealership having special sales?
It will, unless the manufacturer tells the dealership, by the way, we've got an overrun of stock and you can sell this vehicle for this price. But it wouldn't be just for one dealership. That would be spread across a group of dealerships. So again, there's no distinct advantage given to any particular one. It's interesting because Honda, one of the positions that Honda have surveyed globally around the sale of vehicles. And whilst a lot of consumers, me included, I love going to dealerships and I love car showrooms because I can haggle and get a good price for a vehicle, a lot of people don't want to do that. So, and I think as Mercedes-Benz are moving into this model in the coming months and certainly into next year, some people would say that's fine. It's more transparent. I can see what I'm buying. Other people would have a view, well, I wanted to trade in my other car and I'm a good negotiator. Overall, though, and the people I've spoken to internationally, I was on a Zoom call to the UK tonight. I think it's very early in this environment. It's been tried before, different models around the world, and the manufacturers have moved back to a traditional model. But it's possible, Dennis, that, you know, the electric cars coming online, going into dealerships, we can see from Tesla. Tesla effectively have one price for a brand new car wherever you buy it in Australia, and you can buy it in lots of different places.
What does it mean then for Joe Average, who's going in with their vehicle and they're hoping for a good trade-in price? Will it affect them, or will it be detrimental to the seller, to the person who's trading in?
I don't think so, because even though the price of the new car is a standard price, that doesn't mean that the dealer can't negotiate a good price on a used vehicle. And lots of new car dealers, Dennis, they've either got their own used car yard, or they're dealing with a wholesaler. So it doesn't stop a dealer negotiating a good price with a consumer on their car.
96900 693 131332. I'd love to hear from listeners what you feel about this potential new model. Are there upsides for dealers or consumers with this? Jeff?
I think for dealers, it's just a different model. And I think over a few years, I think they'll settle into this new model. We've got to remember, though, Dennis, manufacturers often look at markets globally. So if they're in Thailand or Japan or Europe, having a view about how cars are bought and sold around the world isn't that straightforward, because in different countries and different cultures, that whole buying and selling yeah. relationship can be different. Again, it depends on the individual. If you don't want to haggle on the price of a car and you just want to know, look, just tell me how much it costs and I'll make a decision whether I want to buy it or not. You know, that for some buyers, that's a great opportunity. For others, it's not such a great opportunity. I suppose what we will see is how many other brands, how many other manufacturers will move across into this model. I think that as electric cars come on board, then that is a trigger point. But also Honda are talking about this hub and spoke model inside the agency model, Dennis. And what that means is you might have a major, I'll use Honda as an example, a major Honda dealer, but they might have lots of satellite sites around their dealership, and it might be in a shopping centre, it might be in a small shopping hub, might only be three cars in there. But however, the price is the same. Honda have made it very clear that they are moving away from just a bulk sales product with low margins. They would rather sell more higher value cars, better spec cars. It's still got a good margin in for the dealer. It's still a good price for the consumer. And they're shifting out of that bulk sales model into a more high-end, better margin model.
I've got so many questions for you, but if any listeners want to have ask Jeff about this, Jeff Grillam from the VACC, 96900693 or 131332. 4 to 10, Dennis Walter with you. Glenn, hello.
Hi, Dennis. Hi, Jeff.
How you going, mate?
I've got two cars. I've got the Motorsport and I've got the Magnum. Now, the Magnum, yes. I know, was made on the last day of production.
Right.
Is it worth hanging on to it, or do I put it out there?
Ooh.
Well, the last V8 sold, the last one that came off the line, which actually was the second to last because the last one's in a museum, that sold for $750,000.
Right. Yeah.
So, $750,000 is a lot of money. However, now, I don't know, I've worked in car production, but they were probably still putting a couple of hundred cars a day off that plant. So I don't know, you know, unless you could say that it was, I don't know whether you're able to say this is the 13th to the last or the 15th to the last. I think the fact it was on the last day gives it some value anyway.
Yes.
Jeff, how do I find that out?
Holden Car Club would be able to help, wouldn't they?
Yeah, the Car Club will be able to.
I rang up Holden. And they definitely said it was made on the last day. But they won't tell me how far up the line or how far back the line.
Jeff, Glenn, I'd be going to a car club or maybe talk to people like Shannon's. They might have some more detail on that. Jeff Gwillam, one final question. If this model happens where there's, say, three cars in a showroom somewhere in the middle of Chadstone Shopping Centre or wherever, what happens then to the second-hand cars that are traded in?
Well, they'll go to the second-hand market. I mean, what happens is the wholesalers buy them and they just go into the second-hand market. And a lot of dealers sell used cars as well, so they'll still go where they normally go.
So they might still have their second-hand sort of yards as we know them.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. I mean, the interesting thing is we've bought so many second-hand cars over the last 15 months in COVID. The age of the vehicle fleet's gone from 10.4 to 10.6. It's 10.6 years old now. We've got an older car fleet than we had 2 years ago.
That's not always a good thing either. Jeff Gwillam, thank you. Chat to you next Monday.
Thanks, Dennis.
Good on you, mate. Thank you. VACC CEO Jeff Gwillam.